You're listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Practical know-how to help your farm business.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sarah Pick, and I work as a Senior Knowledge Exchange Manager in the Beef and Lamb team at AHDB. Today, I am chatting to Simon Turner, a scientist working at SIUC, with a particular interest in livestock behaviour and how that impacts welfare. Today's podcast is going to focus on how cow temperament impacts calf performance and is in conjunction with the HDB Maternal Matters campaign. So, why are we discussing this topic? Well, a couple of years ago, I did a Nuffield Farming Scholarship, and whilst I was travelling, I attended a bovine reproductive conference in Tennessee. And one of the topics that kept coming up was cow temperament. Now, over there, they do need their cows to be slightly strong-willed, shall I say, so that they can defend their calves against any wildlife that basically wants to eat them. Something that we're very lucky we don't generally have over here. However, they are finding that those really flighty cows were producing poorer calves. So I wanted to find out more, and through a number of recommendations, I came across Simon. So thank you very much for joining me today, Simon.
Very welcome.
No, it's lovely to have you. So can you just start by just introducing yourself and just a bit of background?
Certainly. So yeah, my name is Simon Turner. I work for the Scotland Rural College, and I'm based at the Bush Estate just outside of Edinburgh. And my interest is in animal behaviour and animal welfare, and particularly how different animals respond to the same stressor in different ways. So looking at individual variability in how animals respond to routine stresses, what that means for their productivity and for their welfare. So I'm a behaviourist. I work a little bit with animal breeders and geneticists. So I have an interest in the genetic determination of behaviour as well, though I'm not a geneticist by any means.
Brilliant. So you're a very knowledgeable chap, basically. So why are you so interested in cow temperament?
Cow temperament in particular, I think, has been fairly neglected by researchers. There's been a lot of interest in looking at temperament of young stock, particularly beef stock, looking at, because of the risk of injury to handlers, but there's been relatively little work done on cow temperament and what that means in terms of the productivity of the cow, her reproductive performance, her ability to produce a vigorous calf that grows well up to weaning. And you know that this is interesting from a UK perspective, because we do have people are injured by temperamental cows, either during routine handling or particularly also when they've got a calf at foot and they're being defensive. So I'm interested in understanding what the biological effects of these temperament traits are in terms of productivity on the farm.
Lovely. So you've done a huge amount of research. So let's start with the cow first. So you've done quite a bit of research looking at defensiveness at calving and also the impact of her temperament on her calf's performance. Can you just talk us through what you've found?
I can. It's a little bit complicated. We looked first of all at defensiveness when they've got a calf at foot. Surprisingly, that seems to be a reasonably independent trait. On the face of it, you would assume that a cow which is being defensive towards a calf is in other respects a better mother. But we've found that that's not really the case. These defensive cows aren't licking their calves more, they're not suckling them more. They just seem to be normal cows with regard to other maternal behaviours, but they're just more defensive of them. In some countries in the world that might be useful and important to be defensive of the calf, but in the UK it's probably less important.
And by defensive, you basically just mean when you have that cow, you know you don't go in the pen with her when she's calved. It's that sort of behaviour, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. It's much better to get in the pen to tag the calf or something like that, and the cow is aggressive towards the handler. That sort of behaviour doesn't really seem to correlate with other aspects of maternal care. And we found that really it doesn't then affect the development of the calf once it's born either, as you then expect. So it seems to be one of these traits that in the UK at least we could probably do without, if you like.
And if a cow is, say, very defensive one year, did you find she was likely to be defensive the next year as well?
Yeah, that's certainly the case, and that very much chimes with what farmers tell me as well, that you can predict how defensive she's going to be if she's based on her past behaviour when she had a calf. Having said that, it's very difficult to predict how defensive they're going to be from their behaviour when they were pregnant. So if they're calm or if they're very flighty when they're pregnant, that doesn't necessarily tell you how defensive they're going to be when they have a calf. And again, that would be the experience of a lot of farmers, that it's sometimes difficult to predict whether a cow is going to be defensive or not based on her behaviour during pregnancy.
Yeah, that's it. So if we then move on to the impact this has on calf performance, those, say, what I term flighty cows, does it have any impact on how their offspring perform?
Yeah, it does. So if we move away from talking, so the defensiveness aspect when the calf is born and the handler goes in to tag the calf, that doesn't seem to have any downstream effects on the performance of the calf. But if we look at the cow's temperament when she's pregnant, when they're being handled in the crush for pregnancy testing, that kind of thing, or vaccination, that sort of level of flightiness and temperament, that does seem to predict the performance of the calf that comes from that cow. So in our own work, we did this work on our research herd and also on a commercial farm too. What we found there was that the cows, which were, when we put them in the crush and they were allowed to exit the crush, the ones that kind of ran out of the crush really quickly, which we regard as pretty flighty, those ones tend to go on to have a calf that was a little bit lighter at birth. Now, some of that might just be because cows that are carrying a small fetus are able to run a little bit faster when they come out of the crush, so there might be a good reason for that relationship. But we also found that the cows which were kind of thrashing around in the crush a little bit more when they were pregnant went on to have calves which grew more slowly all the way up until weaning. So there does seem to be some relationship here whereby the temperamental cows are producing less fast-growing calves. And that very much fits with what other people have found around the world too, that there's this relationship between maternal flightiness when they're pregnant and downstream effects. And even some other people have also found that, particularly with heifers, that the flighty heifers tend to take longer to reach puberty. They tend to be less fertile. They tend to be more likely to lose the fetus, as well as these downstream effects on growth that I've already described. So it seems to be that there is this biological temperament, yeah.
It's really interesting. So, do we know why? Why is it having this effect?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot of reasons, I think. One is that there's a genetic component to this, which we can maybe come back to in detail. So if a cow is temperamental, she is going to pass those genes on to her offspring. And we know that animals that are genetically predisposed to be temperamental also grow more slowly anyway. But there's also probably effects of stress hormones. So one of the main stress hormones is cortisol. It's fundamentally involved in glucose metabolism, but it also interferes with reproductive hormones. So it may well be that the stress of handling or just generally being that kind of agitated kind of animal impacts the regulation of the reproductive hormones, and that might then have these effects on things like puberty attainment and fertility and things like that. So there's a lot of things going on. We think that cortisol, this stress hormone, can also directly affect the development of the fetus as well in the uterus. It can switch on and off genes. It can do all sorts of things. So that there's a it's a very complex picture, but there are biological pathways to explain why we might see this kind of effect.
No, it's really interesting. I think you just touched on there a bit about is it heritable? So does it tend to pass from mother to daughter? Is there that a strong relationship?
There is a pretty strong relationship. We know very little about the defensiveness part, you know, when they've got a calf at foot and they're being aggressive to the handler. We know very little about the heritable component of that, although we suspect that there is a significant heritable component to it. But certainly temperament during pregnancy, or indeed temperament in young stock, is something that is quite significantly heritable. To try and place it in the kind of context, it's similarly heritable to growth rate. And if you look at how we've managed to change growth rate in cattle, or indeed if you look at pigs or poultry, you can change growth rate really quite dramatically with a similar level of heritable component as we have for temperament traits. It's pretty significant.
Wow.
And certainly much higher than fertility traits. We think that fertility traits are about, what we say, 10% heritable. That means 10% of the difference between cows and their fertility is explained by the genes that they're carrying, rather than we feed them, the group they're in, and things like that. Temperament traits, that the heritability is more like 40%, which is, you know, a lot higher.
Yeah, so really what you're saying is we should not be keeping any heifers from flighty cows, because it's likely they will be flighty themselves. And as you've explained as well, it's going to have a big impact on their performance as well. So if we go and move across to then kind of the finishing side, have you found or have you done any research looking at kind of the impact of temperament and finishing ages or meat quality?
Yeah, we've looked at that a little bit. And our main motivation for looking at that was because most of the work in this area has been done with flightier breeds of Bos Indicus cattle in other countries. We found similar relationships here, so it's very clear from Bos Indicus cattle that the ones that are flighty, the young stock that are flighty, have a poorer growth rate, and they have poorer meat quality in terms of things like juiciness, in terms of tenderness in particular seems to be affected by temperament, the colour of the meat and so on. All of these things are very much affected by temperament in these more flighty breeds. But we do find effects to a certain degree in our less temperamental cattle that we have in the UK. So particularly with regard to growth rate, we do find an effect of flightier cattle having a reduced growth rate. And it's fairly significant. If you look at the very extremes of your temperament distribution, if you compare the really calm ones with the really flighty ones, there's about a 15% difference in growth rate between those animals, with the flighty ones being slower.
Goodness me.
Yeah, and you know, most animals don't fall into those extreme sort of ends of the distribution. You know, most animals are kind of in the middle somewhere. So it's, you know, the effects on growth rate there are much more subtle. But within a herd, if you look at the really calm ones, that when you put them in the crush, they just kind of stand there and look around, compared to the ones that really thrash around and it's hard to even read their ear tag. If you compare those two, then the growth rate in our study anyway was about 15% difference. So pretty significant. We had a lesser effect on quality traits than you'd see in Bos Indicus cattle. The growth rate effect was certainly there. Again, interesting to understand the biological reasons for that, because, you know, animals are only being handled for a tiny portion of their life. Most of the time they're in a field or in a pen. But somehow this temperament affects or predicts how they grow throughout their whole lifetime.
Yeah, and just for those who don't know, Bos Indicus cattle are the ones you found in quite hot climates, that usually they have the hump on their shoulders. Yeah, so they're quite different to ours.
Yeah, they're the tropically adapted breeds that you might find in Australia, parts of South America, usually in quite extensive systems. And usually very flighty.
So we touched on it there about how you said cattle go, you know, cope when they're handled and things like that. What is the best way, or kind of the scientific way, to actually measure temperament?
Yeah, there's lots of different ways of doing it, almost as many ways of doing it as there are definitions of temperament. The most common way of doing it is just to look at how much they're moving around when you put them in the weight crate, the crush. That's usually scored on a scale of 1 to 4 or 1 to 6 or something like that. does involve a little bit of subjectivity. Another way of doing it is to measure flight speed. So that is literally like having a police radar trap as they leave the crush. So you can measure very objectively to within a hundredth of a second how long it takes them to get from the exit of the crush to a distance of maybe 3 or 4 meters away from the crush. And, you know, there we find that the really temperamental ones can cover a distance of 3 or 4 meters in less than half a second, which is, you know, really coming out like a cannonball. Whereas the really calm ones are more like 3 or 4 seconds or even longer. There are ways of doing it. So there are the French, I think one of the French breeding societies uses what they call a docility test, which is simply to put an animal in a pen by itself and then try and get in there and see how close you can get to it, which is a little bit dangerous at times. but yeah, there's lots of different ways of measuring it. One of the challenges is that it's none of these measures perfectly relate to any other measure. So the way in which they thrash around in the crush will tell you something about the speed at which they leave the crush, but it's not a perfect relationship.
Yeah, and do you think this is why then there hasn't been a huge amount of research done in this area? Because it sounds like it does have a big impact on productivity.
Yeah, there has been quite a lot of research in this area. I think there's been less actual practical change in this area, and I think this kind of thing has certainly constrained our ability to breed for improved temperament, for example, because there it's, you know, if we look at something like growth rate, it's very obvious what you should breed for. You put the animal in the weight crate on one day, you put it in the weight crate a few weeks later, and you measure the difference in growth. Whereas temperament gets a bit complicated if you don't have a single gold standard way of measuring it. So I think what we need to do for things like breeding is to choose those circumstances, those contexts in which temperament is particularly problematic, like, you know, when they're in the crush or when they've got a calf at foot, and specifically try to improve those aspects of temperament. But we have to recognise that if we do that, it won't necessarily improve temperament in every single context perfectly.
Yeah. And I suppose that was my kind of final question. How do we improve temperament in a herd? Is it just literally pull the flighty ones?
At the simplest level. As I say, to go back to the genetic aspect, it's sufficiently heritable to be able to notice a difference within a few years on a herd if a farmer is fairly ruthless with decisions on which animals to keep and which not to keep. So certainly if there's a decision between keeping one heifer or another one, go for the one that's calmer. And if you do that over enough years, then you will notice a difference. And I certainly speak to farmers who have done this. You know, they have a very simple scoring system when they're handling the animals routinely. You know, they just note down maybe 1 to 3, whether it's very flighty, pretty average, or very calm. And if they're, you know, selecting against the ones that are very flighty, they will tell you that within a few years, they can see an improvement in the herd. I think some other kind of rules as well are worth bearing in mind. The fact that the temperament is heritable means it's repeatable over years and over time. So keep that in mind. If a cow is being defensive this year, she'll probably be defensive next year, and she'll leave defensive calves as well. So, you know, if she's being aggressive to you this year, just bear in mind that that's something that will continue in her family, and bear in mind as well that it's not leading to other benefits. These defensive cows are not, they're not better mothers.
Yeah.
You know, there doesn't seem to be any benefit from favouring them, if you like, or giving them a second chance. Some farmers have a very much a kind of one strike and you're out policy with defensive cows. If they're defensive and dangerous, you know, if they're dangerously defensive, then that's it. They're called at the first opportunity.
No, thank you ever so much, Simon. I mean, if we didn't need a better reason to call these flighty cows, other than obviously the health and safety risk, you've definitely given us it. You know, we've talked about the impact it has on conception rates, on heifer development, on growth rates. So, you know, if you have those flighty cows, please do call them. They are, like I say, not only a health and safety risk, but they are affecting performance of your herd as well, and they're likely to be that the next year as well. So thank you ever so much, Simon. Is there any final messages you'd like to leave us with?
Not really, just to really say that this is, you know, we talked a lot about beef cattle here as well, but there's a lot of similarities in dairy as well, which kind of underpins that we're talking about real biological effects here. So when you look at the dairy world, for example, we see that the temperamental cows tend to have lower milk yield, which is probably underpinning why some of our beef calves are growing more slowly. They have greater risk of mastitis. Poor fertility again, which we're seeing in the beef cows. And in the dairy world, there's also some evidence that they have more calving difficulties. And the calving difficulty area is something that we haven't looked at very much at all in the beef world. But obviously calving difficulties, of course, are very important as well. And if we can do anything to improve calving ease, we should keep that in mind. And certainly the evidence from the dairy world is that temperamental cows tend to have more calving difficulties. So there may well be a whole raft of other benefits out there from avoiding having cows in a temperamental state.
That's it.
We're just not yet aware of.
Yeah, and can I quickly ask, why do you think it's having an impact on calving ease? Because that's fascinating.
It is, and again, it probably comes back to the reproductive hormones, things like oxytocin, that are, you know, very involved in the delivery process. And, you know, we know from other species that when they get a bit upset when they're being handled around calving and things or giving birth, that it affects these reproductive hormone profiles that are fundamental for this sort of efficient and quick and smooth delivery of the offspring. So it might be, I don't think we really know is the honest answer, but I put my money on it being to do with the fact that any kind of stress around calving would impact on the reproductive hormone profiles, which then sort of dictate the whole calving process. So it might be something like that.
Right. No, it really is interesting. Really interesting. Well, thank you ever so much for speaking to me today, Simon. I could talk about this subject forever. But yeah, keep up the good work, because it really does show that we should not be keeping those flighty cows. Lovely. I'll let you get back to your marking. But thank you ever so much for speaking to me.
That's all right. Cheers.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.